Welcome back to Stationary and Sassy, a Fast and Furious quarantine podcast. I'm your host, Penelope Fippin.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Hampton.
How's it going, Jamie?
It's going good. It's so good to be on the show chatting with you about cars. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's been a very long time since we recorded. And today we have a very special episode because you participated in a real life racing event called Crash-O-Rama. So I'm going to start this podcast, as we always do, by me asking you what your top line takeaway is from Crash-O-Rama.
My top line takeaway from Crash-O-Rama was definitely like a unavoidable feeling of like, oh my god, I'm a fucking race car driver for real. Like, and also, I fit in at this event in like no way.
this is amazing. Okay, so I need to understand, because you know I don't know about racing events in the heartland of America. Can you explain to me what Crash-O-Rama is and how you came to be a participating driver in it?
Sure. So I've talked about Crash-O-Rama actually on the show before. I called it the Demolition Derby in the past,
right?
Which is kind of what I normally call it. But actually, Demolition Derby is just like one event at Crash-O-Rama, and there's like a bunch of other events also.
Yeah.
Most of them are racing events. Demolition Derby, true Demolition Derby, if you're unaware, is like not a race. It's just like a bunch of cars and they crash into each other until only one of them is like can continue to go.
I see.
And the last one that like is still standing is the winner.
Gotcha. Did you participate in the Demolition Derby?
I actually didn't. Original plan. I signed up for all of the other events are like racing based.
Okay.
Like with a winner who's fastest.
Yeah.
And so I signed up for a number of events, which I'll talk about. And I signed up for Demolition Derby, which is the last event of the night. Cause like you can't drive your car anymore after it.
Right.
Unless
right.
you win, I guess. But then I ended up not doing the actual Demolition Derby event because my car was in too good of shape for us to want to ruin it, basically. Like we kind of imagined that like we would do this one time and the car would get ruined and we would be like,
sure,
oh, that's a fun thing we did. And when I say we here, I had like a few friends at home that were like kind of my pit crew helping me with car stuff.
Yeah,
because I don't actually know that much about car stuff. But anyway, sure. After my two race events, the car was still honestly looking better than many of the cars were looking at the beginning of the event. And so we were like, let's keep the car and play again next year. So I didn't do the Demolition Derby.
Okay. So maybe just to back up a little bit, I really want to hear the story of like, how did you come to be participating in this event? Like, can you tell us a little bit about the steps that led up to you deciding you wanted to do this, how you sort of applied, registered, whatever, and like the sort of lead up to this event?
Yeah, it's actually pretty casual in general. I've been attending Crash-O-Rama for maybe like 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy it. It's like a really kind of fun party to go see a bunch of cars crash into each other.
Sure.
And so it was one of those things that I was like, oh, I totally want to do this, like on my bucket list or whatever. But it was not necessarily one of those things that I was actually like making any steps to like try
right.
to do it.
Right.
And then last year I went with a whole bunch of my friends. It's in September. Well, there's two in my area in June and September. And so we went to the September one last year as like my anniversary party with like me and my
sure.
husband and a bunch of our friends. And one of my friends, his name is Hazmat. Actually, it's not his name, which you probably guessed, but we call him Hazmat.
Uh-huh.
And he came with us last year and I was doing my thing that I do where I was like, oh, I really want to do this. Wouldn't that be so cool? And he knows everything about everything. And
uh-huh.
he like used to do battle bots and
sure.
he is like a engineer and all this stuff. And so he was like, I think we could do that. And so he was the one who kind of like put on the pressure to be like, well, why don't we do it? And then we also needed a car. And so my old car is a 2008 Toyota Matrix hatchback.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been doing not so good the past couple of years. And so I kind of was like, well, maybe when the Matrix is like ready to not be a car anymore, we can like convert it into a demolition derby car. They had like offered to trade it in for me, and they offered me like $250 for it. And I was like, no, I will drive this car into the ground. I let you give me $250 for it. So we had to take the Toyota off the road in like July because the windshield wipers completely stopped working and we couldn't take it out if it was like raining.
Sure.
And so at that point, Haz was like, let's start working on the car. And so we started researching like, what are the requirements for the vehicle you're going to enter? So you don't really apply. Okay. You like register for the event. You could even, we registered in advance because we were all excited about it, but you can even just show up and register day of, but then they will like check your car and be like, right, is your car meeting all of these requirements?
Uh-huh.
There was a list of requirements, and then there was a list of like recommended safety features that aren't required.
Uh-huh. Can you please give an example of a recommended safety feature that is not required?
A full roll cage is not required.
Okay.
I believe a partial roll cage, like a half roll cage, is like required. I'm not sure exactly where the requirements end and the recommendations begin, because okay, we went through and we're like, we're doing absolutely all of this.
Very, very sensible.
Hazmat is a chief safety officer at Moog, and he was okay, like, you will be in this car if it is safe only. You have to put a bar across the driver's side door. That's one of the requirements.
Sure.
So, like, if you get hit in the driver's side, it hits, like, rebar instead of, like, crushing into your car.
Gotcha.
You're not allowed to have any glass. You have to take out all the windows, the headlights, the outside mirrors, anything with glass has to come off. You do have to have some sort of windshield. We did like a plastic windshield.
Mm-hmm.
Some people had like chicken wire fence instead of like a windshield. You're just not allowed to have like objects fly in and hit you. If you think this funny, you're gonna have a really good time listening to the rest of this whole story.
Oh my god. Leave it in.
What else? Oh, so the first thing we did with the car is just took everything out of the inside. So it was like mm-hmm. empty on the inside. We took out the seats, we took yep. out the insides of the doors, yep. we took out like everything.
Okay.
And we put in like a racing style seat.
Sure.
With like a racing style harness, which like it essentially feels like a cloth version of like roller coaster restraints. So like mm-hmm. you're pretty in there when you're wearing the racing harness.
Right.
I actually thought those two things were required, but we got there on the day of and like there was this guy next to us in the pit. His name was James. I'm really lucky that we were next to him because he was really nice and helpful. And I think maybe a lot of the other people there would not have been so nice or helpful to me, the person that fit in the least of anyone at the event. But he was like, you know, you don't need fancy like racing seat and harness like this. Like you can just use like the seat and seatbelt that came with the car and that's allowed. And I was like, oh no, you don't understand what like it's like working with Hazmat. There is no way we would have been using the seatbelt that came with the car. What else? All the doors are like bolted shut. So I climb sure. in through the window.
Sure.
You have to bolt down the hood also. You have to have a fire extinguisher like in reach of where the driver is sitting.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a hole in the hood. They were like cut like a 6 inch by 6 inch or something like that hole in the hood of the car. And I was like, why are we doing this? And apparently it's so that like you can just stick your hand with a fire extinguisher like right into it if there's a fire inside. We had a racing net on my driver's side window. The other windows were just open, but like the one that we don't want things to fly in and hit me, there was like a net.
Sure.
Again, some people just had like chicken wire kind of thing. But The thing that was funny about the net is that it was the hardest piece of the entire thing to install because it turns out they do not make racing net hardware kits for a Toyota Matrix hatchback.
Sure. So you prepped your car, you registered for the event, you passed all of the safety checks because...
They glanced at my car for 1 second and they were like, oh yeah, okay, this is... You clearly...
So you participated in a few race events, it sounds like. Could you describe what those were?
Yeah, so the biggest race is called the Enduro race. That's the one that we like pre-register for.
Okay.
And the Enduro race is 1 hour of racing.
Okay.
You're supposed to do 60 laps, but like it's an hour time limit, and if nobody makes 60 laps, then like whoever made the most laps wins.
Okay, that makes sense.
There were 72 cars, I think, doing it. The track is 3/8 of a mile long. There are 72 cars doing it at the same time. Which like sounds like a lot when I say it, but then I have like a video of the start of this race, and even knowing that there's 72 cars, you will watch this video. We can put it in the show notes. I have a lot of like videos and photos that would make this episode better that we can put in the notes.
Yeah.
But even knowing that it's 72 cars, you will watch this video and be like, there are still cars going. I was number 48.
Uh-huh.
I was about around the middle, a little bit more than the middle. And like, even by the time you get to my car, it feels like more cars than makes any sort of sense.
Right. That feels like this race is actually just a traffic jam.
Yeah. I've heard it described as a bloodbath because there's no traffic. Everyone's going very fast and just hitting each other if they're like in the way.
Sure. So thankful for those safety features.
Yes, I actually, so I did pretty defensive driving because I really wanted to finish the race.
Uh-huh.
Not a ton of people finished. In fact, this year, 18 people finished.
Okay. 22. And were you one of them?
I was nice. One of them. So I probably, we don't have the full list of like who came in what place.
Okay.
But we're pretty sure that I came in 18th place, aka like the person that finished. That with did the least laps.
With the fewest laps. Gotcha.
I think the people who won this year did like 45 laps. There was a lot of downtime during the hour this year for like red flags. I didn't even make my entire first lap around the whole track before there was like a over 20 minute long red flag where they were just pulling cars off with like a forklift.
And does time stop when there's a red flag?
Time does not stop when there's a red flag.
Fully 1/3 of the race was like downtime, just with that one red flag.
I would say easily more than half of the race was downtime. Like the first red flag before I even did a lap. Like I have like a score of like what time all of my laps are, and my first lap is like a half hour. it was very funny, actually, because I had a walkie-talkie, like a radio, in the car to talk to Haz, my crew chief. The funniest thing about this is that, like, people around him apparently were like, wow, you have a radio. That's so smart. Like, I was the only person who was in radio contact with someone else during this race. And he was like, have you never watched, like, NASCAR before? So we're lining up. I'm number 48 in this line of 72 cars.
Yeah.
I'm totally nervous. I had never even, the first time I ever drove out onto the track was when we were lining up for my first race.
Right.
And so I'm in the car. I'm waiting for them to like, you know, do the green flag. I'm on the radio like, oh, I'm really glad I have this radio because like I'm really nervous and like it's making me feel better that I can talk to you. And then like 45 seconds later, I'm like stopped in this huge crash. And I'm like, oh man, I'm really glad I have this radio because it's like really boring down here and I can't see what's happening at all. My car was in so much better shape than other people's cars because like most people will take like a junker that maybe doesn't even work and fix it up. And like my car was on the road. It was just not quite ready to do that anymore. But I'm like, I'm fine waiting here. I got my air conditioning still works. I got like the tunes playing in the car.
So I think this is actually, like, this is kind of an interesting thing to point out, is you took a, like, almost but not quite roadworthy car to, like, a junker race, and I assume everyone else was showing up with just rust buckets.
Yes and no. I think a lot of, like, my, like, in the pit neighbor James was saying that, like, most of his cars will be, like, anytime he has a friend who, like, has a car that, like, doesn't pass inspection, like, it gets...
Sure.
Like, donated to him. So I think it's, like, some rust buckets that they get from wherever, and, like, some kind of, like, mine, like, cars that just aren't quite up to snuff to pass inspection anymore.
Okay, so you went through the Enduro event. I guess I feel morally obliged to ask you, did you take any big hits during this race?
I didn't take any big hits during the first one. I took a couple hits, like, right... directly from behind.
Sure. Okay.
Which didn't really hurt the car very much. So I was, like, looking shockingly in good shape after the Enduro race.
All right. So then that race finished and you came in the last place of the finishers, but quite high in the overall field. What happened after that?
So right after that, there were a few events that I wasn't in.
Okay.
There's a school bus figure eight race is one of their big pulls. I like that one. I didn't play in the flagpole race, although I wish I had in retrospect.
The what race?
The flagpole race is like, they don't use an actual flagpole. They have like a big tire. Uh-huh. But so when you go around the track, like, right in front of the crowd, there's this big tire, and you have to loop around the tire as part of your lap, which means that, like, as you're looping around the tire, you're facing towards other cars. So that's, like, why they make you do that.
Oh, it's like a drag race, but you have to turn around and go back the way you came.
You don't go back the way you came. You just have to do a loop around this tire. So you go around the track. This is where I wish it was like a video podcast, because I'm doing a thing with my hands now that would make it very clear. You go all the way around the track, and then there's a tire, and you just do like a loop around the tire before you continue on the track. So it's like small detour that you have to do every lap.
I see. Okay, gotcha.
And then I did the boat and trailer race, which is my favorite event. During the boat and trailer race, you have to pull a boat behind you.
Okay.
Many people put it on a trailer, which is allowed. We just dragged it on the ground behind us because we didn't have a trailer.
Okay.
So we just, like, used metal cable to, like, attach this boat to the back of my car. And then you do the race. It is actually a flagpole style, so I also had to do that loop with the boat
with the boat trailer behind you.
And you are not eligible to win unless you still have your boat at the end.
I see.
So if your boat falls off or gets totally destroyed, like, you can still, you're still driving, but at that point your goal is just to create mayhem for other people because, like, you can't win.
Okay.
So that was, like, the boat and trailer race is hard to explain because, like, it does not sound like the most exciting event, but it is always the most exciting event.
Well, to me, that feels like very obviously there's a horrifying opportunity as you're turning around the flagpole for, like, boats to smash into other cars to smash into cars, boats to smash.
There's a lot of smashing, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, just, like, the boats, like, for instance, one of the boats on the trailers just, like, fell over on its side, like, pretty quickly, and so it was just dragging a trailer on its side instead of on its wheels for, like, the entire race, and just kicking up, like, more sparks than you can imagine. Some people will just lose their entire boat, and it won't be attached anymore, and so there will be just, like, loose boats on the track.
Sure. I feel like I have an important question, which is, what is the track surface? Is it dirt? Is it asphalt? Is it something else?
It's like kind of crappy-ish asphalt, I guess. Okay. It's banked track, so it's not flat.
Sure. So you've literally got a trailer dragging along asphalt, basically kicking up a massive fire underneath it.
Yeah. I would say, like, the smell on the field, like, was so bad it was so intense
uh-huh.
that it hurt my eyes how bad it smelled. I was wearing a helmet. So I was wearing like a motorcycle helmet inside the car, but sure. I had my visor up because I was like, I have a windshield. Nothing's coming in here to hit me. And I have glasses. So I'm going to fog up this visor. Uh-huh. But I had to like close and vent my visor during the boat race because like it smelled so bad, like burning fiberglass, that like my eyes were watering.
Oh my god. I'm looking to my P100 mask and thinking, gosh. Jesus Christ. Okay. So the boat race happened.
At one point I looked in my rearview mirror during the boat race. There was a boat on its side filling up my entire rearview mirror. Like, that was the only thing I can see. I do not think it was my boat. I'm pretty sure it wasn't. My boat was, like, next to me at one point. The thing is, like, if I weren't doing a race where I was, like, you know, other people trying to hit me and stuff, just driving on this banked track, pulling a boat on the ground, it's like
sure.
It makes the physics of your car so unbelievably strange.
Wait, I have a question for you. How large of a boat are we talking here? Like a jet ski, like small yacht, like a...
I think our boat was like, I think 16 feet was around the size your boat was supposed to be. You take everything out. So ours was almost like rowboat-ish with like everything out, taken out.
Sure, but 16 feet is not a small boat.
No. I have a bunch of photos also of the car with the boat. The boat was about the same length as the car. Also, we decorated our car and our boat in like Buffalo Bill Zuba's design.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
My friends who are in the audience told me that like when I originally drove out to like line up for the big race, I also did like the Buffalo Bills logo on the on the hood, but like there's this kind of viral crappy drawing of the Bills logo that our quarterback did that has become like this kind of meme in Buffalo, and it looks like a child drew it, but it was really our quarterback. And so like I spray painted that design on the hood, and apparently when I drove out, like kids in the audience were like, look, it's the Bills car. And I was like, yes, exactly what I wanted.
Okay, so I have to ask now, if we zoom out from individual races,
okay,
did you take any big hits, and what was that like?
I took a couple pretty big hits during the boat race.
Okay.
There was one when I was going around the tire where someone crashed into not quite a T-bone. It wasn't in the driver's seat, but it was like the back of the driver's side. I got sure. nailed pretty hard. It was kind of I felt so safe in the car, actually, that I was like, I know I'm going to get hit. Like, it was definitely nerve-wracking doing it. But, like, when I got hit, I felt kind of like, well, that happened. Like, that was part of it. I drove through a boat at one point.
Okay. I'm sorry, what?
So, like I said, once people lose their boats, there's just boats, like, on the track as obstacles, basically. You're not supposed to crash directly through someone else's boat that they're still pulling. Uh-huh. But they're basically, like, if the boat is just on the track, like, you can just crash directly through it if you want. Like, it's a competition, but really it's also like entertainment.
Sure. So
like you drive so you can win. I mean, I knew I wasn't gonna win, so I was kind of just driving for fun, but like you drive to like entertain the crowd.
Sure.
And so like I crashed through a boat and there was just like a big explosion, and that was pretty exciting. And then actually the worst thing that happened to my car was there was a piece of metal that had come off of someone else's, I assume their boat, maybe it was their car. Actually, I bet it was a trailer. I bet it was like an axle from a trailer. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't get out of the way of it, and I ran right over it. And I could tell it was bad, like the way that it bucked my car up. But then when I got done with the boat and trailer race, we like drove back to the pit. Uh-huh. I turned off my engine, and like all of the oil drained out of my engine. I tore the entire oil pan off in that race. And
oh my
so that
God.
Was also kind of part of the decision to not drive it in the Derby, because
right.
turning the engine back on with no oil would have been like really like it would have destroyed it. I mean, it would have gotten probably destroyed anyway, but we were like, we can't really turn the engine back on until we fix the oil pan. But the oil pan is pretty easy to fix if that's the only thing that's majorly wrong with it.
Uh-huh.
So that's why we like kept it for next year. But like overall, I made a decision to go and drive like defensively rather than like extremely quickly. And
sure,
I guess that kind of paid off, but I'm going to try and get some practice before next year so that I can be a little bit more confident on the track and maybe like do a little better in terms of speed, but probably expect to take some bigger hits next year.
Sure. Okay. This is incredible. Is there anything else you want us to know about Crash-O-Rama?
It's just kind of so funny to me how different of an experience I think I was having from the other like almost 100 people that entered.
Uh-huh.
Like I was definitely the only like skinny twink or whatever. I was the only person who had like a dedicated crew chief in the way that Haz was for me, I'm pretty sure. Like he came to my tech inspection and they were a little bit like, why did you bring someone else to your tech inspection? I'm like, because I can't answer questions about the car. Like, I helped with building it, but I helped in a very kind of like, please tell me what to do. Okay, Jamie, go get these tools for us kind of way. Because a bunch of my friends are like mechanics and welders.
Sure.
Like everyone else who was working on the car, like works with tools for a living. And I was just like, there.
I'm someone who has worked in tech for most of their career.
Yeah. We had the nicest car for sure. Like if the competition was like who did the best job building their car, like we would have taken first place. There would have been no question about it. But then I didn't know what I was doing. So it was kind of weird to be here like, so there's this one team that has like all the best stuff but doesn't really know what they're doing.
I also feel like having the nicest car is not really the point of an event like this.
It's true, but like in terms of, like, I felt so safe because, like,
right, sure.
We had like all of the safety stuff. My team got me a racing suit. So I was wearing like a race driver racing suit in this whole story, which I maybe should have prepped with. So you were picturing it the whole time. But like, there was only like two or three people there wearing that kind of outfit too. And I'm pretty sure the other people were because like they do real races and then just play this like silly one for fun.
Wait, so please describe your racing suit for the audience at home.
It's like a red jumpsuit. With like, I mean, if you like picture what a race car driver is wearing, like theirs would have lots of like sponsors on it, but other than that, it's pretty much like if you watch racing on TV, like what you'd picture them driving. And it was embroidered with my name, so it said Jamie.
Amazing.
It was wild. It was such a like crazy experience, like, which is what I wanted. I really wanted the experience of like, well, what is it like? Like when we were doing, there was a meeting for all the drivers before the race. And one of the things they went over was like the prizes, because there was prize money. Especially for the enduro race, like not insignificant prize money. First place in the enduro race won $3,000.
Wow.
So a lot of racers who were there were like wanted to know about the payouts and were like, you know, it was a competition. And so they're answering all these questions about like the payout rates and stuff at the meeting. And I'm standing there just like, I don't care about this at all. Like I'm just
here for the experience.
I'm just happy to have been nominated.
Well, I remember at the beginning of the show, we talked about you doing some illegal street racing, or at least finding some illegal street races. And while this one clearly is not illegal, it's very funny to me that the culmination of this show so far is that you have become a race driver. And I feel partially responsible for making this happen.
I think you should feel partially responsible. I won't probably be doing any illegal street racing. At this point, if I took my car out onto a public street, it would become illegal street racing immediately. It does not have windows or lights or mirrors or license plates. And I do kind of want to drive it around town at some point because it's like a Bills thing, and like the Bills are going to go all the way this year. So I feel like I want to like celebrate that. But like any time that this is on the road is going to be like a huge. Also, no one else can drive this car other than me now, because you have to climb in through the window, and there's only one seat, and it's built for me. So, like, I guess if you were the exact same size as me, you could also drive the car. But anyone that's not exactly my height is going to even be able to fit in the car.
This is incredible.
But the reason I was like, well, I probably won't do any illegal street racing, but, like, actually, Hazmat has already mentioned to me, like, you know, I think in 2 or 3 years we'll be ready for, like, the real, like, non-Crasherama races, which was not really my intention when I started this, but apparently that's what we're doing now. We're just doing race car driving now.
Well, I find it incredible that from never having watched a Fast and Furious movie to a real-life race car driver... Is there any last note you'd like to leave us with?
That is a pretty amazing culmination of our show, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Crasherama isn't just in my area. Like, it's a traveling show. So, like, there's other Crasheramas that are in the same format in other cities. Actually, I think it's the same one that, like, some of the people just go to other cities. So, next year, we're thinking about, like, visiting some of the other ones. There's one in Erie, Pennsylvania that I guess is, like, a lot bigger than the one that we have. I don't think I'll race at it, at least not, like, immediately. But now it's, like, kind of interesting that I've, like, entered this kind of weird racing subculture that I don't fit in with. But like, I'm excited about it. I've mentioned my pit crew buddy James a couple of times. He's been doing this for about 10 years, and so it was really cool to have him next to us, like giving us some tips. He was like really supportive of it being my first time. I was probably the only first timer there that I'm aware of.
Sure. That's incredible. And I guess we're also queering racing culture.
Yeah, so there was a rainbow car last year. It is not a very, I would not call it a very leftist friendly event in general. The Demolition Derby.
I'm shocked.
There was one rainbow car last year, and so I was like, okay, rainbow is okay, apparently. I was like, I don't think I would do, like, trans flag. I think that would be a little bit too much. But it turns out, actually, that my buddy James was the one driving the rainbow car last year. And he told me this whole, like, beautiful story about his best friend who was gay. And actually, it's kind of so funny because this, like, James was really, like, really nice guy, really, like, cool to, like, me and my husband. But, like, in this subculture that, like, I'm not familiar with, the way that he talked to me, he was like, yeah, my best friend, he was gay. I didn't care. And I believe that he didn't care, but it was just kind of funny that he had to preface it this way. But I guess his friend passed away a couple of years ago, and it was, like, the person that he got all of his cars from. So, like, his friend would give him all these cars and he would convert them and take them to the Derby. And so after his friend passed away, the friend's mom was like, I think you should have his, like, last car. So it can be, like, your last car that you take to the Derby from him. And so he painted it rainbow and, like, as a tribute to his friend. And that's the car we saw last year. And he, like, showed me a picture and he had it, like, we had been chatting for a few hours, but we hadn't, like, exchanged any information about ourselves. And so, like, when he found out my name was Jamie, he got really excited. And he, like, showed me this thing. Like, his friend's name was also Jamie. So it's really sweet. And he was like, you should come back next year. Like, we do this event every time. Like, I'll pit in the same spot so you can come and pit in the same spot and we'll be next to each other again. And we do, like, so I'm hoping that we can go and, like, hang out with James and his family again next year because they were really delightful.
This is adorable. All right. I think that's the perfect way to end the show.
Thank you so much for listening to Stationary and Sassy, a Fast and Furious quarantine podcast from me, Jamie.
And me, Penelope.
Until next time, now I am truly living my life a quarter mile at a time. It's actually actually 3/8 of a mile. So.
Oh, leave it in.